Now, Governor Tony Evers addressed the state last night in an effort to convince state residents to change their daily behaviors to reduce the spread of COVID-19. The governor's address came as the state reports a significant increase in the number of positive cases and deaths in Wisconsin. Today, the State Department of Health Services reported more than 7,000 new positive cases and 62 deaths reported in the last 24 hours. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think about the governor's address? What would you like to see the state do to help stop the spread of COVID-19? The recommendations were just that, recommendations last night. Would you like to see more mandatory measures or not? And what are you seeing in your community when it comes to mask wearing, social distancing, and the stuff we know helps? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to a public health expert about the governor's address. First, Laurel White is state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Break it down first, Laurel. What did the governor have to say last night?
So this was a unique address from the governor. This was the first time that he spoke to us in prime time, a statewide address about the pandemic. And it was different from other things we've heard from him during this pandemic in one big way. And that was that he issued an executive order that was full of, as you said, recommendations. These weren't requirements. They weren't limits. The other things that his administration has tried to do up until this point have been those things, things that come with penalties if people don't follow them. Now, there's been very limited enforcement of those penalties for things like mask wearing, for example, in Wisconsin. But this was really marked in the fact that it was a departure from the way the governor has been doing things. It was a movement into just kind of urging people, asking people and businesses to change their behavior.
And his past efforts at actual mandates, talk about some of the fates they've run into.
So all of the governor or the governor's administration's orders have faced legal challenges, and those legal challenges are in different phases. There has already been an argument in one case challenging an emergency order, and we're actually looking to the state Supreme Court for arguments next week, early next week, Monday, in the statewide mask mandate case. So it certainly hasn't been smooth sailing for the governor's orders up until this point. They've been challenged in court. The other one that's kind of working its way through the system right now is the limit on public gatherings and bar and restaurant capacity in Wisconsin. An appellate court, a state appellate court, recently ruled on that. So we might expect that to go to the Supreme Court as well.
Speaking of things that haven't been smooth sailing, the governor's relationship with Republicans in the legislature, not so great. Have we heard much from Republicans in response to the governor's address last night?
So reporters were able to get some pretty immediate feedback from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss last night. He said that his immediate reaction was to reach out to the governor to try to set up a meeting to talk to him, because part of the governor's speech was a proclamation that the governor plans to introduce some bills related to COVID-19 responding to the pandemic in Wisconsin, or at least some proposals for bills in the coming days. And Speaker Voss said, "I really want this to be a collaborative process between Republicans and the governor's administration about how to move forward." In Speaker Voss's estimation, there hasn't been that collaborative spirit thus far between the Republican-controlled legislature and the governor's administration. He says he wants that to change. He thinks people want that to change. Now, the governor's administration, for their part, has said that they have tried to reach out to lawmakers, and that's been unsuccessful so far. And lawmakers have been slow to kind of roll out their own proposals when they've been rejecting what the governor's been trying to do. So it has absolutely, as you said, been a tricky relationship over the past several months between the governor and legislators about how to handle the pandemic.
One symptom, Laurel, I've seen reporting. Is this right? The governor and the assembly speaker haven't spoken in something on the order of 6 months?
Yes, that was a report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I believe, that came out yesterday. the governor and the assembly speaker are very transparent about the fact that, you know, they haven't had the smoothest relationship, certainly, you know, arguably since the governor took office, or even before the lame duck legislative session before he took office. But there has definitely been a difference of opinion in how to handle the pandemic. You know, the governor and his administration have favored more statewide orders. Republicans have said that the response by the state needs to be more regional to sort of take into account and respond to the fact that the virus looks different in different parts of the state. Particularly earlier on, we saw these, you know, spikes and flares in kind of more isolated places in Wisconsin. So they've just had a very philosophically different approach up until this point. But the claim now is that they're going to attempt to meet and try to iron out some plans that they can agree on.
Well, we'll see what the future holds for that. Laurel, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She joined us for a look at Governor Tony Evers' announcement last night of new statewide COVID-19 guidelines. Now we turn to a public health expert for a look at the governor's guidelines and what we could be doing to stop the spread of COVID-19. Amanda Simonek is an associate professor of epidemiology in the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She's one of the editors of the Dear Pandemic online forum. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back on the program.
Let's put the governor's address in context here. We last had you on about a month ago as Wisconsin was breaking records when it came to positive tests, deaths, hospitalizations. Things are worse now, right?
Yeah, we have continued to break records in the wrong direction. Just today, there was over 7,000 new cases of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. The rolling like 7-day average is almost 6,000 cases per 100,000 persons. You know, probably in addition to the actual number of cases being detected, being alarming, is the positivity rate is just skyrocketing. You know, the positivity rate is an indicator that we're not testing enough people, that there's people out there that are going undetected as cases of COVID-19. And so knowing that this infection can be spread to others starting 2 days before you develop symptoms yourself, you know, it's a real concern that we have ongoing sort of untracked individuals that have COVID-19, you know, that are out probably transmitting it to others unknowingly at this point.
Looking at the governor's address yesterday, what stood out to you as the recommendations he offered?
I mean, this was really just a codification of what the governor, what Secretary Palm and Dr. Ryan Westergaard at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services have been asking and recommending people to do for months. I don't think there's anything drastically new. You know, we are at a point where we have to cut off sort of fuel to this virus, right? So people who are susceptible, you know, gathering together, this is how this virus spreads. And so the recommendations around basically only doing what's essential for your family at this point are really coming from a place of trying to reduce the spread of this infection in a drastic way quickly. You know, when I was on the show a month ago, I talked about how we expect a lag between surges in cases and then hospitalizations and then an increase in deaths. And right now, there's over 2,000 people that are hospitalized with COVID-19 in the state of Wisconsin. We are starting to reach hospital capacity in many locations. This is terrible for people who need to get treatment for COVID-19, but it's also going to start potentially impact those who need to seek care for other conditions as well. You know, and as our cases continue to surge, we aren't out of the woods in terms of those rates of hospitalization decreasing and then unfortunately deaths continuing to increase. And so, you know, the way to turn around this outbreak is to stop giving the virus the opportunity to spread through our communities by, you know, really limiting our social interactions to the people that we already live with to the extent possible.
I've seen reporting today about a group of health professionals and officials presenting for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. The presentation included the Wisconsin Hospitals Association. One of the messages there is we haven't seen consistent messaging across the board from people in positions of authority and leadership, the politicization in part of COVID-19. Does doing things like having primetime addresses and getting the message out there, especially if it came from, you know, across the board, does having that message out there in and of itself make a difference?
I'm sort of biased because I am somebody who keeps up with the weekly press briefings that the state health department puts out, you know, and I think in addition to like a primetime address, what we need to see is a unified front across people from different political parties in our state. You know, that the virus does not care what political party you affiliate with, you know, and when public health measures become symbols of your public health or your political affiliation, that's, you know, really undermines the ability to control this outbreak and to just undermines the pandemic response across the board, because this virus doesn't care, you know, which way you voted. If you are someone who hasn't been infected, you know, you're susceptible to it. And it's really going to require, you know, a unified approach among the Wisconsin populace to wrap your mind around the fact that you could have this infection, and before you realize you have it, you could spread it to others. Really requires us to say, okay, I'm going to wear a mask and I'm going to try to minimize my social interactions with others, even though I don't think I'm infected and I don't have symptoms yet, just because I want to try to protect my community. And that's tough to wrap your mind around, but I think that's the direction we have to move in and think, I could have this infection unknowingly, so I'm going to take the steps I need to not spread it to others.
We're talking to Amanda Simonek right now about Governor Evers' calls to Wisconsinites to change their behavior to stop the spread of COVID-19. She's Associate Professor of Epidemiology in the Joseph J. Zilber School of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee. She's also one of the editors of the Dear Pandemic Online Forum. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing now in your community when it comes to COVID-19? Do you work in healthcare? What is happening in your clinic or your hospital? What do you think of the governor's address? Do you want to see more mandates, or do you want to just see a unified message calling for voluntary changes? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the COVID-19 pandemic, Wisconsin's rising number of positive cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, and the calls Governor Evers made yesterday to residents to help stop the spread of the virus. Amanda Simonek stays with us, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at UW-Milwaukee. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Scott is with us in Madison. Scott, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Scott?
You know, it seems like when this all started, we all locked down and stayed home and closed all the businesses. And then when we opened back up, slowly, we all got sick. So now if we lock down again for another 6 months and we close all our businesses and then when we all come out of hiding after that, aren't we all just going to get sick again?
Gotcha. Scott, thanks for calling in. Of course, nobody's calling for a full-on lockdown at this point, or the governor isn't, certainly, Amanda. But one different thing that is on my mind, with good news, it looks like, about vaccines, maybe in the foreseeable future, I don't know, the spread we stop today, the case we stop today, might keep somebody alive long enough to get that vaccine now.
Yeah, we did get some good news about a vaccine being developed by the Pfizer Corporation this week. You know, I think this is the first step of good news in that process. We still need to see more data that comes out of that study. We need to, have all the safety checks marked and, you know, the process that it takes for a vaccine to come online and be readily available to the general public. We're probably looking at sometime mid-time next year before that starts to be rolled out. And then there'll be, certain populations that are prioritized, like healthcare workers, older individuals, individuals that have chronic health conditions. So I do think it gives us some reason for light at the end of the tunnel. But it doesn't mean that even when that vaccine becomes available, that we will just be able to abandon all of these other mitigation strategies. I think we're going to need a layered approach for a while that will be where a vaccine gets added into the mix. But we have and we have reason for optimism now that that will hopefully be coming available. But yes, you're right. We don't want to just say, okay, there's a vaccine on the horizon, so let's just sort of let go of all these other precautions that we have available to us to slow the spread of COVID-19. I think we want to prevent as many illnesses and deaths as possible from this infection. I've been on the program before and, talked about how it's not just preserving our hospital capacity and preventing deaths. While that's very, those two things are very important, it's also, that people who get this infection sometimes have long-term complications from this infection, even without, ending up hospitalized or dying. So, we have all, the same motivations and reasons to continue to try to slow the spread of this infection, with a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel with the good vaccine news this week.
Thanks for that call, Scott. We'll go to Ron now in Milwaukee. Ron, hi.
Yes, thank you for being here and opening up these ideas. My comment is regarding things I've always heard about from my parents and grandparents about them having victory gardens and scrap metal drives, voluntarily trying to do something for the community when the world was in crisis. They had rationing for sugar, meat, nylon stockings, gasoline, etc. And they accepted this as part of the way to aid the community and feel patriotic. And now we have people feeling put upon because they might be spreading something, but that's taking away their freedom. And they feel they can be cavalier and angry even in your face when asked to please wear a mask.
Ron, thanks a lot for that call. Ron, calling for, I guess, a community spirit in trying to fight this, Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for that too, right? I think again that I repeat the messaging around the fact that, this is an infection that's different than other respiratory infections. With something like flu, you're typically most symptomatic the day or are able to transmit to others the day you develop symptoms. And usually if you have fever, you're tired, you are worn out, you maybe stay home those days. And so the transmission of flu gets disrupted in that way. But with this infection, unfortunately, before you realize that you have it, you can spread it to others. And so it does take and will take sort of an embracing by our communities to say, look, I'm going to wear a mask when I go out in public. I'm going to cut down my social circles. I'm going to sort of limit my social interactions to the extent I can right now to protect others. I don't want to be the person who accidentally gets in exposed, through an interaction that I thought was safe or didn't feel was risky, and then pass that infection along to other people. And the reality is that with the rates of transmission that are happening in our communities in Wisconsin right now, the likelihood that you will encounter someone, even at the grocery store or in a neighbor who has to go in and work, and can't work from home, these types of sort of everyday interactions are going to unfortunately become more likely to be sources of transmission.
Ron, thanks for that call. We'll go to Amanda now in Slinger. Amanda, hello. Amanda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for my call. I really appreciate the show and the advice and the everything you guys are doing. My family has been able to steer clear of the virus. However, my elderly parents and my brother and sister-in-law recently tested positive and were able to recover. They were fortunate to have a mild case. My question is it safe to celebrate Thanksgiving with them?
Well, I think I'll tackle Thanksgiving in general right now and then that specific scenario. So,
And just a
in
minute and a
terms of
half left, Amanda. I'm sorry.
Just in terms of Thanksgiving in general right now, you know, the safest way that we can celebrate is with our own household, the people who we already interact with. You know, today is marking 2 weeks until the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, unless you really, your household and any other household you plan to gather with can meaningfully do a strict 2 week quarantine where you don't, you know, interact with anyone, you don't go to the grocery store, you don't go to work, you don't go to in-person school, and you kind of remove any possibility of exposure. And then 2 weeks pass by because you, you know, have passed that incubation period during which you would expect symptoms to develop. It's just really going to be difficult to guarantee that you haven't been infected and won't bring that with to your gathering. And I don't think anyone wants to pass COVID-19 along with the mashed potatoes or turkey to their family members. In terms of having family members that have already been infected, you know, we're still learning about what the long-term immunity is to COVID-19, and whether, you know, it would be safe to sort of be in this window of time where if your family members were re-exposed, they wouldn't get another infected again. And so I think, you know, the safer option is to not gather, you know, in this 2 week quarantine.
And we have to leave it there. Thanks to Amanda Simonek from UW-Milwaukee, epidemiologist there with us to look at the governor's announcement yesterday on COVID-19 steps in Wisconsin.